Good morning. I've sort of been brewing on this word for a while, and I've thought about sharing it, and then it's not felt like the right time. And this does feel like the right time, apart from it's a bit of a heavy topic. But I was just thinking that there's a TV program about doctors, and one of the doctors says it's a good day to save a life. And I believe that God is saying it's a good day to find freedom. But sometimes you have to go through the mess to find your freedom. And so this may get a bit messy, but that's okay because God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. The angels are here. So it's not going to get too messy. And so today I'm going to be talking about redeeming your timeline. And this is quite a personal thing for me. God has been showing me images of what this looks like. And this is my interpretation. So you can take this on board and think, yeah, this works for you. Or you can actually ask God to show you something that speaks to you more appropriately. So this is a very personal interpretation of what this looks like. So a trauma is, in the dictionary, it says it's a deeply disturbing or distressing incident. So that could be, you know, a one-off situation. It could be the death of a relative. It could be abuse. It could be something as mild as in it doesn't seem to be a big thing. It could be the betrayal of somebody who knows you. So it could be that you've got a really favorite teacher who you love, who supports you. You know, you've been through education and it's been a bit horrible, but suddenly you've got this one teacher who thinks you're amazing, who supports you, who sees you, and then for some reason they say something that really upsets you. And that doesn't sound like a big thing, but actually that can cause a real trauma in your life. I know we had a situation where we, when Beth was about 15 months old, we lost her. Good grief, it's like it's one of the worst things you can imagine. We went into a shop. She hadn't been walking for that long, and we hadn't quite got to grips with reins, or, you know, we were used to pushing her around in a buggy, and suddenly this small child is independent. And we walked in, and I thought that Jeremy had her, and Jeremy thought that I had her, but actually neither of us did. So... And it became apparent, I remember Jeremy coming up to me after being in the shop for about 10 minutes, and he was just like, is Beth not with you? And I'm just like, is Beth not with you? And it was horrible. They talk about cold fear. I experienced cold fear in that moment because I remember standing by the opening doors, automatic doors, thinking my child could actually activate these doors. She could be gone. It was the most horrible thing. Fortunately, we did find her quite soon. They put an announcement out, and she was by the shoes, which we should have just known it. We should have just known it. It's like, where else would she be? But I knew in that moment that that could have caused me to have a fear that would carry on going. And so that, you know, for me, that was a really big trauma. Okay, a trauma can also be a physical injury. So, you know, if you've had a car crash, if you've had an operation, all of these things can cause you to experience a trauma. So it can be just one thing that happens suddenly out of the blue and it just impacts your life really dramatically. Or it can be repeated incidences. So if you have bullying in school, if you've been bullied by or a relative, or your siblings, something, it's not a massive event that happens, but it's lots of little things that add together, then again, that can cause trauma to be in your life. It is something that others do to us, or it can be something that we do to ourselves. So it may be, okay, I'm going to share this one, but it makes me look really bad. As I was growing up in school, I was teased a lot right from the beginning. You know, I went into school and I don't think people understood me. And so I was just teased. And so I understood how horrible that was. It's just like it was painful. There would be situations where I'd see a group of people and I would go the long way around to avoid them so that because I knew what they would say to me. But when I was about, I don't know, 10, 11, I was in school, and there was a girl in the year below me, I think she was, who, there was just something about her that I didn't like. And I started to tease her, which you think, you know, I would not do that because I'd learned how painful it was for me, but it made me feel powerful. And oh, that's really bad, isn't it? It's like, you know, suddenly I'm gathering people and they're also teasing this girl because, you know, they've noticed the thing that I've highlighted about her. And this went on for probably about 10 days. And then suddenly one of the mealtime assistants came up to me and she said, you know, she drew me to one side and said, well, you know, what are you doing? You know, why are you doing this? Do you not understand how mean this is? And I was just like horrified. I was just like, oh no, I'm horrible. You know, I've said these horrible things and I've hurt her. And it you'd think that the connection would be made, but it wasn't. I didn't understand how my behavior was affecting her. I don't know how you can, I don't know how that works, but it didn't. But the trauma of understanding how I'd affected somebody else also caused me a trauma because I was horrified at my own behavior. So it's sometimes we can actually create a trauma in our own lives because of the things that we do. So I'm going to draw you a little picture. So God has been showing me about your timeline. And for me, I'm very visual and very literal. And so when I think about my timeline and redeeming my timeline and changing what that looks like, for me, it's literally a line. It's like a railway track. So I'm going to draw that for you. Okay, so you have this line that goes along. Sorry, it's a bit wonky, but yours is not probably this wonky. Okay, so this is what I imagine my timeline looks like. Okay, so you have this. And then a trauma comes along, and for me, it creates this massive crater that just like lands on your timeline and it causes damage and destruction and all sorts of things. So this is like a one-off occasion. Okay, then I'm going to just draw you the other situation. So again, you've got your timeline. And you have something that small that happens. But sometimes these small things will add up. So you have one small thing that happens. So say you have a parent who just, you know, it's not a massive thing, but they say something to you that's just not helpful, but it's repeated. So you could think that it's going to jump along your timeline and be spread out. But actually, these things join together. So if it's happened once and then it happens again, they get multiplied. So you get lots of little ones. So although they're little, it still creates a massive impact on who you are and how you feel. The third option is that, so this is the point where you're born, but your timeline, if you look, your timeline extends. Okay, and it goes along, and it goes along to all the people that you're in it related to, or your ancestors, and they also have traumas on their timelines. So all of these ones also affect you and are connected to you. So it's not just the things that happen in your own life, it's the things that happen that you've inherited, that you've carried, that you're not really aware of necessarily. Sorry, not brilliant pictures, but I hope they give you some impression of what this looks like. So when this happens, when you have trauma, it can lead to lots of different things. It can lead to you cursing yourself or cursing other people. So you say things like, I will never let myself be hurt by that again. You're making this statement, and so you're going to do whatever you can to protect yourself. Or it can be all women are controlling. You've got a dominant mother, and you then pass that idea onto every single woman that you meet, and you expect them to be controlling, even if they're not. You reinterpret how people behave by this statement, or you say, "It's my fault and I deserve it." So, you know, you become a victim, and it determines who you are. So the whole thing about this is it affects your identity, it affects your destiny, because this causes a disruption in who you should be. It causes you to live in unforgiveness. if somebody's offended you and you haven't learnt about forgiveness, then you're carrying unforgiveness, which then multiplies that wound, because not only has this thing just landed on you, but you're then carrying unforgiveness. It causes you to carry grief, particularly if it's a loss that's occurred, and it may not be the loss of a person, it may be the loss of the life that you feel that you should have, or the loss of expectations or hope. It can cause pain, emotional pain or physical pain, and actually the impact of something emotional can lead to a physical pain. So just because you're not physically injured, it can actually lead to pain in your body. It leads to you carrying memories in your mind, in your body, in your DNA, at a cellular level. You know, they talk about muscle memory, and we can sometimes have like a memory that we carry that we're not really aware of, but it affects how we behave. I think I've shared this one before, but there was a time a few months ago when I was just really struggling to relate to God, and it was just like I would come to God, I would open myself up to him, and I would like, are you there? And it just felt like he wasn't. Of course he was there, but I was just struggling to connect. And then I had one of those like moments where all the clouds clear and it's amazing, and it's, you know, I'm right in his presence and it's just incredible. And all those blockages seem to have come out of the way. But I came into work on a Monday morning, and we have a team leader meeting every other week. And the first thing we do is pray. And immediately I thought, oh, this is going to be difficult, because my expectation was that connecting with God is difficult, because I'd had those few weeks of me finding it difficult. And I was like, well, why am I thinking it's difficult? Because I know that I've had a breakthrough. I know that I can connect with God. Why am I still thinking it's difficult? And it's because I carried the memory of us of finding it difficult. And I was like, oh, okay, I need to shift my thinking now into this is not difficult. But it's so easy to get into a habit that we just don't realize. And yeah, so this also can lead to fear that something may happen again. So with the situation with Beth, I could easily have become incredibly fearful of losing her. I could have not wanted her to go on school trips. I could have not wanted her to go to school even. I could have not wanted her to be out of my sight. But because I knew at the time I needed to deal with that, I didn't let that happen because I dealt with it. But it's so easy to lead to fear. Or we can feel that we're not safe. You know, if something has caused you damage, then it's very easy for you to think that you're not safe. It also can lead to you having life definitions. And these are invariably ungodly. You know, they're not good ones. So they say, I am. I am ugly. I am useless. I'm a failure. I can only, you know, do bad things, or I cannot. And, you know, the cannots can be really powerful. You know, I cannot achieve anything. I can't win. I'm a loser. I will never amount to anything. Or I am responsible for, which can then lead to feelings of guilt and condemnation and shame, which I know we dealt with very adequately last week. So all of these things affect who we are and how we feel about ourselves. We then very quickly get into soulish coping mechanisms. So if you feel that you're not safe, you will put up barriers. You will determine who you're going to relate to. You will determine how much of yourself you give away. You will determine the things that you're willing to attempt, the things that you're willing to choose to do, the things that you feel that you have the ability to do. And so every time we find coping mechanisms for ourselves, just as Mike has been teaching us, that's the DIY path. It's saying, I can do this myself. And actually, in some ways, that's understandable. If you're a small child and you feel unsafe, you will do things to make yourself safe. But that's still not God's best for you. Trauma can lead to disease for lots of different reasons, because of the unforgiveness, because of the effect of the trauma in your life. It's like a growth that stays there, and it affects your body and it affects who you are. And so it can open you, it can affect your immunity, and it can open you up to things. it also can lead to the development of triggers. So something happens and it's not necessarily related to the trauma, but suddenly you're triggered into a response, you're triggered into a way of thinking, you're triggered into a defense mechanism because of the trauma that you're carrying in your life. It also can cause the development of strongholds in your life. And a stronghold is a fortified place that's inside of you that you carry. And it could be a place where you retreat to, so it could be a safe place where you run to, and this is your safe place, and you're hiding. And you live your life a lot of the time hiding because you feel unsafe. Or it could be an area where the enemy has access to you and he can just get in there. It's like an open doorway. So I'm just going to draw that on there, actually, because, you know, the enemy's out to rob, steal and destroy. So what happens is when a trauma happens, it opens the door for the enemy and it gives him access to that part of your life, but then it ripples across your timeline and it ripples into who you are. It can also lead to fragmentation. Okay, so when this happens, so there's lots of different ways of talking about this, and I'm going to unpack this a bit further. So what happens is if something happens to you, say, I'm going to go back to a time when I was in secondary school, and a couple of the boys would say things to me. I mean, it wasn't really bad. I had been teased a lot over the time, so it wasn't like awful. But it was, you know, if I saw these people, I probably would try and avoid them. And so this was probably when I was like 14, 15. When I was in my early 20s, I remember I was working in a supermarket on the checkouts, and I saw one of these boys pushing his trolley towards my checkout, and immediately I felt like this sense of dread. So I wasn't responding to him as a 20-year-old. I was responding to him as a 14-year-old. So part of me had got stuck in that time, and I was reverting back to those feelings of what I felt like when I was 14, 15. So that's what a part is. It's where we get stuck in a certain age, and when something happens that triggers us, we go back into that, and we respond out of that situation. We respond out of those feelings. There is also another way of looking at it is a fragment. So let me just check. So with a part, it's an unreasonable fear or a reaction to a situation that may be safe or not safe. With a fragment, it's very similar, okay, but quite often there's an element of you have actually banished that part. So it hasn't just got stuck somewhere accidentally, but you've actually wanted to get rid of that part of you. You no longer wanted to be connected to that person. Okay, so it's when something so painful has happened that you can't actually, you don't want to be connected to that pain anymore, so you remove that part of you and you put it somewhere else. Or it could be something that's so shocking that, again, it's like you don't want to look at that. You don't want to be connected to the behavior of that person, the person that you've become. So I've been looking at dissociation, which is the sort of like the medical technical term for this stuff. And I found some information. I think it was on Facebook. I was looking through some of the people that I know, and they had posted this stuff. Unfortunately, I don't remember who this person was or the reference for this. So I am quoting a lot of information, and I don't exactly know where it came from, but it's such good stuff that I'm going to quote it anyway. But a lot of it comes from a place called the Sidron Institute, which I don't know what that is either. But again, I wrote loads of notes, and I'm just going to read some of this stuff. So dissociation, again, is I'm talking about the same thing. It's when part of you gets separated from who you are. It says a disconnection between a person's thoughts, memories, feelings, actions, or sense of who he or she is. I'm going to read that one again, okay? So it says a disconnection between a person's thoughts, memories, feelings, actions, or sense of who you are. And so this is actually very normal. Most people dissociate in some way at some point. So mild dissociation can be daydreaming, getting lost in a book or a movie or a game. And this involves us losing touch with our awareness of our immediate surroundings. So it's like we can feel numb, we can feel checked out. And actually, if you think of somebody who's in an accident, again, I was watching a medical program the other day, and often when people have a really, really traumatic accident and, you know, they've broken a leg or something really awful has happened, they feel no pain at all. And you're like, well, how can that possibly be? But it's because there's all the adrenaline going and it saves them, because if they actually experienced all the pain of that situation at the same time, they probably wouldn't survive, because their body wouldn't cope with all of that pain and the shock and the trauma of what's happened to them. So it is a good response. It helps us to survive. It's an adaptive response that's really good, and it's, you know, it's not bad. You know, if something very traumatic happens to us, it's a way of us forgetting, you know, it's a way of us coping, because we forget some of it. We don't carry all of it all immediately. You know, if you see somebody who has experienced a difficult and traumatic situation, their memories can be very hazy about it. And, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm okay. You know, I remember years ago, my youngest daughter, just before her third birthday, she broke her arm. And she was very little, but it was an absolute compound break. It broke completely. And I thought she'd dislocated her arm, because this arm was just swinging free. And, you know, we very quickly were aware that this was a difficult situation and we needed to take her to hospital. And I have her sat on my lap, and she's like, I'm okay, mummy. You know, it doesn't hurt. I'm okay. And I'm just like, She probably wasn't in pain. But something very traumatic had happened to her body, but her body had shut down and separated her from the pain. But, you know, that was a good thing. The thing is that if this continues, when the dangerous or harmful situation no longer exists, this is actually a bad response. So we can see somebody who we perceive is going to cause us harm, and it can trigger a massive response in us that is completely inappropriate for the situation, but we have learned how to deal with things and how to be to cope, because that part of us is suddenly kicked in and it's ruling our responses and our behavior. So it says, for those who experience ongoing repetitive trauma, dissociation occurs so frequently that it interferes with other aspects of life and functioning. So it hinders how we cope with life. If you think of a child who's being abused, they will probably be on high alert all the time. They will feel threatened all the time, and this will affect all of their relationships and how they cope with life and how they deal with things. It says that most trauma survivors dissociate to some extent. So it may be that you dissociate from your body or bodily sensations. As I've said, it may be that something has happened and you don't feel the pain that you should be feeling. You may not have access to forbidden feelings like anger, sadness, or fear. Or you react with anger and rage and then forget how you behaved because you disconnected from that part of you. So suddenly you find that you're reacting to something. There's been a minor trigger, and all of this stuff suddenly comes out of you, and you're just like, where on earth did that come from? You know, you're logically thinking there's no way that that is a response to what happened, but you've jumped back into that part of you who is experiencing all that pain, and you're expressing it. Some people, actually, this happens so violently that they forget how they've behaved. They're so disconnected from that other person that they don't even remember the behavior. You know, other people say, gosh, you really lost it. And then they're like, did I? You know, they just don't remember. You may miss information about events from the past. Again, this is so easily done. I remember years ago when we first became part of Freedom, we were very much into dealing with stuff just as much as we are now. And it was a wild time, wasn't it, Linda? And I remember talking to somebody who you knew that they were exhibiting the symptoms of a dysfunctional family. You know, you could just see it in the way that they behaved. And actually, I knew this person and I knew that there were certain ways that their parents had behaved which had caused them a problem. But actually, if you talk to them, they're like, no, my childhood was blissful. It was wonderful. It all went well. It's like, yeah, my parents were great. You know, they did all the right things. And if they didn't, you know, it was okay. It wasn't really their fault. You know, and so you either forget and you just think that everything's wonderful, or you actually fabricate a replacement story that makes you believe that all is well and that all is rosy in your garden, and you because you can't cope with the fact that actually things were not good. So all of these things can lead you to feel disconnected and confused during times of stress. So again, I don't know why I tell you these things. I look like a God has done a lot of work in my life. Okay. So I grew up with a mother who, she was diagnosed when I was probably in my late 20s, but she was bipolar. She had manic depression, and for her, the symptoms were she was either asleep or she was functioning. She didn't particularly have highs. So a lot of my childhood, she was asleep. And so what I learned from her is that when you can't cope with life, you check out, okay? She didn't verbally teach me that. That's what she demonstrated to me. Okay, so I don't know, sometime in the in my recent history, a situation occurred to me that was really stressful and it was really horrible. And I felt extremely tired, just really tired. And I was like, actually, all I want to do is just go to sleep. You know, I just want to sleep. And then suddenly it was like God showed me like this. Yeah, because that's the mechanism you've learned. This is you're triggered into. So again, it's like on your timeline, this is not mine. I haven't inherited this from my own behavior. I've inherited this trauma from my mother, that the way that I cope with stress is I want to check out and I want to go to sleep. And actually hasn't been a pattern in my life particularly, but on this one occasion suddenly I was triggered into it, which I think in a way was God showing me, look, you have got this trigger. I know it hasn't been triggered a lot, but I want you to see it so that you can deal with it. So we can inherit triggers from our past, but it was that, you know, wanting to completely disassociate from with the situation and withdraw. So for me, I reverted back to a learned coping mechanism, which, again, it wasn't something that I'd done myself, but we can revert back to self-made coping mechanisms. Or you actually may lack coping skills for dealing with your emotions. It's like you don't know what these things look like. They've your experience of emotion has been so extreme and so unruly, and things that you haven't been able to trust your emotions, so actually you just shut them down. And you see people like that who just, they don't seem to feel anything. They don't get excited about stuff, they don't feel miserable, they're just this, you know, they're just on a level plane, and you think, oh yeah, they're quite cool, you know, they're coping with life. They're not at all. What they've done is they've just put their emotions in a box somewhere and buried them, and they've hidden them, and they're not connected with them. So again, I think I said this earlier, but you may be over-triggered to respond. So when you think a situation is threatening, so again, gosh, this sounds awful, but growing up, my dad shouted a lot, and this is my sister's example, but my sister doesn't cope with loud, shouty men particularly. She doesn't cope with loud, shouty people, but particularly men, because it triggers this response from when she was a child. And I remember she went for a job interview as a nurse years and years ago. She was going to go for training, and they were like, you know, will you respond if you're told what to do? And she said, oh, it'll be fine as long as you don't shout at me. I was just like, yeah, that's exactly, you know, she had... She gets concerned, and it causes a reaction in her that she doesn't like when people shout. And that may not be how you are, but that is, it's like that, it's that, response to a perceived threat. Okay, also, I'm going to just quickly run through. I'm just going to read these because it's such a good list. If I can find it. Hang on. So dissociation, or having this, having parts of you separate from yourself, having being fragmented, can cause relationship difficulties. So I'm just going to run through this list of things. So you can feel so wounded and mistrustful of people in general that it doesn't feel worth the risk to attempt connections, which can lead to extreme isolation and loneliness. These are like the absolute extremes of how these things can cause you to behave, but you may feel that you've got like a mild version of this. The belief or fear that there is something so bad about yourself that it will harm or destroy anyone you get close to. So you're toxic. A premature attaching to others, which causes you to disclose sensitive or a great deal of information about yourself before assessing how safe a choice the other person is. So you just pour it all out anyway. The inability to fully assess potential friends and romantic partners due to dissociation, which causes you to miss red flags and seeing other parts of information. So you're not able to assess other people. It can cause you to experience kind, safe, gentle people or relationships as being boring, undesirable, or frightening. It can cause you to sabotage relationships. So you pick a fight when things are going smoothly, or you're feeling too close because you want to cause a distance between you. So it's like you don't feel safe when things are going well because you think it's not going to go well. So you may as well just cause a problem anyway. It could be extreme caretaking or people-pleasing, feeling that you must suppress your needs or feelings in the service or taking care of others. You shift who you are in order to be loved or approved by the others around you. Gosh, these all sound really bad, don't they? Again, I know that I'm talking about the stream, but some, you know, it may be that you think, oh yeah, I'm not exactly like that, but I can see elements of that in it. Just keep your spirits open to let God speak to you about what's appropriate for you. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're actually going to step onto our timelines and we're going to just deal with some of this stuff. So what I want you to do is we're going to have some nice music if my... Okay, this may feel scary. This may be the first time that you've ever done this and you're like, good grief, what's this going to look like? But the Holy Spirit is here. Okay, and Jesus is going to hold your hand and he's going to guide you through this. And there are angels to watch over you. Gray, what did you say the angels were called? Clarity and Truth. So we have the angels of Clarity and Truth who are going to help us with this. Okay. So can I just ask you to get to that place where you're willing to engage with this? So if imagining this helps you, that you're stepping onto your timeline and you're looking at the trauma, then go that way. If this doesn't help you, then do whatever God shows you to do. But I just want you to make a decision right now that you are going to choose to look and see, and that you are going to choose healing and freedom today. So can I just encourage you to step onto your timeline, to look at what that looks like. And for some of you, you may think, gosh, this looks like a bomb site. There's so many things there, I don't even know where to go. But actually, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to the one that you're going to deal with today. You don't have to do all of it, but he's going to lead you to that one place where you need to go. So Jesus, I'm asking you to lead people to the trauma site that you want them to go to. Jesus, I thank you that you're holding people's hands, that they're not doing this alone. And this will not be too difficult or too painful because you've got them. So in this, Jesus, will you show these people the age or the ages of the parts that got fragmented at that time? So at this point, I want you to just allow Jesus to show you an age. It may be that you see a number. It may be that you see yourself at that age. Or it may be a collection of ages if it's a repeated situation. But just allow yourself to be shown that. So, Father, we repent of allowing ourselves to become fragmented. And we repent of living in different realities. So if you're seeing more than one age, can you just ask all of those parts of you, which is the dominant one? Which is the one that we're going to, who can lead all of the others? So again, just imagine yourself or imagine the numbers and just ask God to show you which is the dominant age. Okay, so you're going to now talk to that part of you, that fragment of you that got separate. So you're going to talk to yourself at that age, and you may have a different name. So you may have grown up being called something else, and you now have a different name. So call yourself the name that you were at that age. So say to that person, that child, maybe a teenager, it may be a younger adult. But just say to them now in your head, or you can say it out loud if it helps. You are a valued part of me. I value what you think. I value what you feel. And I value what you say. And I'm asking you now, what is your greatest need? So just allow the Holy Spirit to enable you to hear clearly what that part of you is saying to you. What is your greatest need? Hopefully you've all heard something. Right, at times, this part of you may have had a life of its own. It may have caused you to behave in ways that you didn't want to behave. It may have led you down paths that you didn't want to follow. You may feel that it's led you astray, that it's betrayed you, that it's caused you to behave in ways that are not in accordance to your thinking or your wishes or your desires or your character. So at this point, if you feel it's necessary, you may need to forgive them for the behavior, for what they've caused you to do. So just say, I choose to forgive you now for all the things that you did that I didn't like. It may even be that you have to forgive it for holding the pain that you don't want to look at. Okay, so you've all hopefully been given that greatest need. So again, you're going to speak to that part and say, I have good news for you. I am now with Jesus, and with Jesus all my needs are met. And if you come to Jesus now, you will have your needs met too. So I choose to welcome you back. And I ask for you to come back and experience all of those needs being met. You can come back and have that wound healed. You can come back and be put back into alignment with who you were meant to be. So I ask you to come back. So Jesus, would you show people what is happening to those parts or that part Hopefully all of you have either seen that part come back into you, or they've stepped into Jesus, but there has been some type of reconnection and reintegration. So Jesus, I ask you now to help with that reintegration. So Jesus, I ask you to restore identity, to restore wholeness. I ask that you will restore thinking patterns where there have been ways of thinking that have been against your way, that have been ungodly, that you will come and you will restore those, that you will take out all the ungodly thinking patterns, and that you will pour in new life and new hope. Jesus, will you remove the effect of the trauma in every cell, in the brain, in the heart, and in the body? Will you reset every cell to the design of heaven? Will you bring restoration so that every cell in everyone's bodies will just be brought back to the place where they were originally designed? That you will bring redemption. And Jesus, will you minister to their DNA, where things have been held and carried that they've inherited? Will you come and just remove those things? Will you bring transformation? Will you take out everything that doesn't belong to them, either from their ancestors, from their generational line, or things that have affected their DNA in their own lifetime? Will you just sift through the strands of DNA and just work through those and just minister to their DNA, where it's caused disease to come in, where it's caused pain, that you will reconfigure things to bring life and hope, and your light will come and minister to that. That you will weave your DNA into their DNA. That you will cause their DNA to resonate with the sounds of heaven and with their original design. Father, and as we stand at that trauma site, I ask for angels to minister to the timelines, to lift off the trauma or the trauma bundle, to bring healing and restoration. Will you pour the oil of healing into that area? Will you take it off completely so it's like it never happened? Father, will you restore all that was taken at that time, where destiny was stolen, where thoughts were warped? Will you change and restore the sound and frequency of each life? Will you cause each timeline to resonate with the sounds of heaven? Where things have been blocked, I ask for release. Father, where the enemy has put things on people's lives that don't belong there because of this trauma, I command those things to be lifted off now. Father, will you send new sound up and down the timeline to bring restoration and transformation? Will you close the doors that the enemy has opened? And will you open the doors of destiny that the enemy closed? Father, will you release the treasures that have been held back? The treasure that these people have got as part of their lives. The character traits that they haven't found yet. The abilities, the anointings. Father, all those things that are a part of their destiny that got caught. I declare release, release, release. Father, will you release their heavenly identity to them? Will you show them what it looks like to be whole? What it looks like to be healed? What reintegration looks like in their lives? Let God speak words of life over you. Let him speak words of destiny over you. Let him speak your true identity over you. God is pouring out gold at this point. Just receive that oil that brings healing, that fills you up in a way that you've never felt filled up, that satisfies your desires. So we're just going to thank Jesus for what he's done. Jesus, thank you that you've healed my wounds. Thank you that you've ministered to this area of trauma. Thank you that you've helped me to become whole. You've put me back together. Jesus, thank you that you are in the job of restoration. That you do a good job. And I bless you now. So just allow God to continue to minister to you as we worship. If you found that you got stuck with some of that, that you didn't feel that you got put back together and you need help, then ask somebody to help you. This is a process that you can continue to do. You know, just as the Holy Spirit leads you, just allow him to put you back together. And again, if you need help, just ask. But well done, guys, for being brave. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. Just to reiterate, if anyone needs any help with that, just see any of the leadership team or any of the people who've done the ministry side of it, just come and see us. We're happy to stand with you and step into heaven with you and try and help you in any way we can, try and deal with any stuff that's come up.